It's 7:43. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. This week on West Virginia Morning, how are small businesses across the state coping with the coronavirus pandemic, keeping many people at home?
You know, I'm doing everything I can right now to keep the lights on and the doors open here, but if I don't get some help, then if we close down, I don't know if we'll ever open back up.
That story and more. Stay tuned. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Health officials say West Virginia has recorded its 34th death from the coronavirus, an 88-year-old woman from Jackson County. The Department of Health and Human Resources says there have been at least 1,153 confirmed cases of the virus in the state as of yesterday. Jackson County has seen the greatest number of deaths at 9. At least 29 of the 34 statewide deaths have occurred among people over the age of 65. The DHHR reports a large increase in negative results yesterday due to electronic reporting from labs across the state. Governor Jim Justice ordered the testing of all patients and staff at nursing homes last week. Last week, Congress passed a second bill to provide emergency funding to help keep small businesses afloat during the coronavirus pandemic. Funding from a similar bill passed back in March ran out less than 2 weeks later. Many business owners across the country and here in West Virginia applied but did not receive a loan. This week, we'll be reporting on how those loan programs are and are not working for business owners across West Virginia. To start things off, Jessica Lilly spoke with Roxy Todd about what the stories in our newsroom have been hearing now and why so many are frustrated by the system.
The Small Business Loan Program was meant to help small businesses during the pandemic. The PPP, or Paycheck Protection Program, is a part of the program that's meant to help businesses pay rent and utilities and continue to pay staffers so they don't have to sign up for unemployment. It's first come, first served. So what is this really meant for small businesses? West Virginia Public Broadcasting newsroom reporters have gathered stories from more than a dozen businesses across the state. So, Roxy, what are folks saying? Any sense of how many businesses here didn't receive these forgivable loans they applied for?
Some did and some didn't. We've heard from a wide range of businesses from across the state, and by and large, a vast majority of the folks we talked to applied for a PPP loan but did not receive one. And there's really no consensus about why some businesses were approved and some were denied. But what we do know is that the funding for the PPP program ran out very quickly.
Yeah. So how many businesses got loans in the first round?
Here in West Virginia, just over 7,800 businesses got a loan. That's as of April 16th. But a lot of these loans are still being processed, so that number is likely outdated. That's according to the West Virginia Small Business Development Center, which is through the State Department of Commerce.
And businesses that want to apply for a PPP loan need to apply through a bank or other certified lender.
That's right. And the process is really confusing for folks. And we've heard from a number of people, they've just had a lot of different types of experiences based on their relationship with their local banker. Everything is just happening really quickly. And I think bankers, as well as small business owners, are just really struggling to keep up. Let's listen to two people. One got a loan and the other didn't. The first is Patrick. He owns an outdoor adventure company in Tucker County.
We are the fortunate recipients of the first wave of PPP loans. The way I was able to get that loan was essentially because I have a neighbor who is a small business coach, and she prodded me to get that loan in quickly. I got my application in the day before they started taking applications.
Meanwhile, in Fairmont, DJ Castle is hoping for good news. He owns the Ramblin' Root restaurant. He didn't receive a PPP loan in the first round. He got nothing from the SBA other than a confirmation number. He says sales are down by more than 40%, and he had to lay off 10 of his 12 staffers.
But it's to the point now, I'm not holding my breath on getting any of this stuff, which sucks because, you know, I'm doing everything I can right now to keep the lights on and the doors open here, but if I don't get some help, then if we close down, I don't know if we'll ever open back up.
Wow, that's really sad. To think about all these new businesses, it seems we've heard about, that have opened as part of an investment in the state and our people. A lot of people are looking for different ways to diversify our economy here in West Virginia and other parts of Appalachia, and now all of that could just go away because of the pandemic. That's so sad.
I should also mention that the federal government's first bill, the CARES Act, also includes money for the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. That money is specifically used to help businesses with operating expenses. According to the Small Business Administration, just under 30 businesses in West Virginia received that loan as of April 16th. But that number has already grown because thousands of loans are still being processed every day.
Wow. And do we know what the economic impact could be if the small businesses who need a loan to stay open never get one? I mean, how many jobs are we talking about here for West Virginians?
Okay, here are a lot of numbers, but it's really sobering when you add it all up. According to the SBA, more than 113,000 businesses in West Virginia are considered small businesses. And that's almost 99% of all businesses here in the state. Their employees make up about 275,000 folks. And with this first round of funding, only about 6.5% of all small businesses in the state actually got one of these PPP loans. So we're looking at a lot of people not being able to return to work, and at least some businesses closing for good. Unless this new round of funding from the federal government is more evenly distributed among small businesses.
With this $349 billion, which has just been approved by Congress to give additional funding for small businesses, will these folks who didn't get a loan in the first round get one now that there's more money?
Well, the amount of money is actually not much more than the first time around. So the short answer is no. This is not enough money for every small business affected by the coronavirus to get what they need. What remains to be seen is how much of this next pot of money will go towards smaller businesses, like the folks who just have 12 or 20 or 50 employees. And these folks are really critical to our local economies. You know, the bookstores, the restaurants, the mom and pop shops, who frankly will not open their doors again unless they have more assistance from the federal government.
Wow. Okay. So what kind of impact will this have on Appalachia?
Like everything, it's up in the air. I keep thinking about communities that are trying to diversify their economy, especially in those communities where coal jobs have really dried up in the recent years. This could be a really big blow. A lot of business owners we spoke to who were denied for the PPP said they aren't even clear on what the next steps are, whether those who didn't get loans in the first round will be in the pipeline for round two. We wanted to hear from one expert on how this could all play out. Here's Deborah Martin, director of the West Virginia Small Business Development Center.
Thinking about the ones that don't have options is what keeps me up at night. We're well aware that the programs that have been created, as generous as they are not going to be there for everyone. And so there will be some companies that don't survive.
Sounds like there's not much hope unless Congress does something to make sure these small businesses get what they need, or the people really make an investment in their favorite local establishments. Lots of questions that still need answers, and we'll be digging more into this throughout the week on West Virginia Morning. Thanks a lot, Roxy.
Thank you, Jessica.
The next round of PPP applications opens today. Tomorrow on West Virginia Morning, we'll be hearing more stories from small business owners across the state. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. The time is just about 7:52. In the weather forecast for West Virginia, mostly cloudy skies right now, although we do expect a little bit of sunshine peeking through sometime later on this afternoon. High temperatures will be in the 50s to the low 60s. Tonight, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a chance of rain after midnight. Lows in the mid-30s to the mid-40s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy with a 50-50 chance of showers. Highs tomorrow will be in the 60s. And showers and thunderstorms likely on Wednesday. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield. In West Virginia, offering the freedom to get care where you want. Coverage available from the mountains to the valleys and places in between. Online at highmarkfreedom.com. One of the many parts of the state the coronavirus pandemic has disrupted is the 2020 primary election. States across the nation are scrambling to adapt their procedures for voting in the era of COVID-19, and the Ohio Valley is no exception. Sydney Bowles walks us through how our region is adjusting and what that means for how you might cast your vote.
Debbie Quivy is the Board of Elections Director in Athens County, Ohio. She's been working the polls in her county for decades, but this year is something she's never seen before.
Ohio is all vote for mail, and that's the first time we've ever had that in the state of Ohio.
Wearing matching purple face masks, Quivy's team of seven is currently processing absentee ballot request forms for all of Athens County's 65,000 residents.
We're getting that absentee application in. The deputy director and I are the ones that open it, sort it. The absentee applications then go, though, to the two clerks out front. They have to put them on the computer.
Another team double checks to make sure everyone gets the right ballot.
And then once they're all ready, I take them down to the post office around 4:30, and they go out in the mail.
Quivy says her team processes hundreds of applications each day, and she's doing it on a time crunch because Ohio's extended primary election deadline is coming up on April 28th. When you think about what elections look like in America, you probably think about your polling place. Maybe you think about long lines, confined voting spaces, or elderly poll workers. All of that means the regular way we vote in this country is not very well suited to the age of the coronavirus, and it's why some states, like Ohio, are making drastic changes to the way we cast our ballot. Jack Noland is a research manager with Represent Us, a bipartisan group that's advocating for changes to voting laws.
Every state allows for some form of absentee voting, where your ballot arrives in your mailbox. The difference between states is sort of who's getting those ballots and the barriers that are put in place to be able to access an absentee ballot.
Ohio let anyone vote by mail even before the coronavirus. But this year, Republican Governor Mike DeWine went even further. He canceled in-person voting altogether and extended the deadline for mail-in ballots. Up until the coronavirus, Kentucky and West Virginia had the same approach to absentee voting. You could do it, but only if you had a valid excuse. The Secretary of State in West Virginia expanded the criteria for who could vote by mail under an emergency declaration. But not all West Virginia politicians are on the same page. Governor Jim Justice had this to say about the upcoming primary vote.
There is always suspect with absentee balloting, you know, from a corruption standpoint, and I'm very, very hopeful that on June the 9th we'll be able to go to the polls and you'll be able to exercise your right.
Election experts say charges that voter fraud is greater in absentee voting are unfounded. Few instances of voter fraud occur. In Kentucky, officials postponed the primary election till June 23rd, but it's one of just 8 states in the nation that have not expanded voting by mail. Governor Andy Beshear supports expanding vote by mail, but he just vetoed language in a spending bill that would have given him and the Secretary of State the authority to do so. It's a squabble over who ought to have the power to change elections. In an April 13 press conference, the governor said he was discussing the issue with Secretary of State Mike Adams.
We've had good conversations. They've gone back and forth. We're not in the same exact place, but we are certainly in the same ballpark.
Secretary of State Adams ran for office opposing early voting and voting by mail. Today, he says he's open to a hybrid system with some early voting, some vote by mail, and some in-person voting.
I'm willing to move to the center to save this election. I hope the governor's willing to do that as well.
New voting procedures for Kentucky will likely be released in the coming days. That means county election officials in Kentucky's 120 counties may soon be scrambling to establish procedures and mail out ballots, just like Debbie Quivy's team in Ohio. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Sydney Bowles.
If you have questions about voting during the pandemic, visit yourcovidresource.org and share them with us. We'll try to get answers. The Ohio Valley Resource is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day at our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Carol Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Misich, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Brittany Patterson produces our show. Our news director is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.